Friends, this is the beginning of a series of messages that say, why do we gather as God's people? And why are we in need of the fellowship, of the worship, of the prayers, of all those things that we do as a people, and then how we affect the world with our ministry and our mission? So I invite you to take out the message notes if you'd like to. You can fill in the blanks that are there for you. You can write in they're found in your bulletin. You can write in the margins, whatever is helpful for you. I have had people tell me that it's distracting for them to do so they do not do it, and that is cool too. I'm groovy with that, all right? So with that, let's pray. Oh, may the words of my mouth, Lord, and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Anybody like bread? I'm not talking about the musical group, I'm talking about bread. Anybody like bread, or are you all on the high-protein, low-carb diet? Yeah. I really have to stay away from the bread, and not just bread as in the loaf for sandwiches or French toast or toast. But man, there's a yummy pizza crust and croissants and bagels and scones, and there's raisin bread, not to mention the fruit breads, the sweet breads, banana bread, pumpkin bread, zucchini bread. Anyone hungry? Good, because we're going to talk about hunger in just a bit. Now, I realize it's not just bread, but what we do to it, right? And we slather it with butter, not margarine, butter, and maybe honey or jam. Ruth and I went out for our birthdays a couple weeks ago. Our birthdays are 3 days apart, and they brought the bread basket to our table. And it wasn't just a bread basket with some hard rolls in it, or some pretzel sticks or bread sticks, the crunchy stuff. But I'm talking about a bread basket with only two rolls in it. But they were softball size, they were warm, and they served them with cinnamon walnut butter. Now, we're not talking about hunger, we're talking about getting a field trip up, right? Anybody with me? Even in our carb-conscious cultures, though, bread is never going to go away, and bakeries seem to be doing very well, thank you very much. Mike Ferretti is the CEO of the Harvest Bread Company. There are several in our area, the Great Harvest Bread Company, I should say. There are franchise stores doing very well and have for over 20 years. Mike says that they don't give out samples, they give out amples, full slices of bread ready for honey or jam to be spread on and be devoured by those who stand in line to receive their ample. Great Harvest boasts, our bread tastes so good, our customers ask if we hired their grandma. What bakeries like Great Harvest have done is to bring back the homemade taste and feel of the old days when grandma would bake in her kitchen that weekly cache of loaves made with love. My grandma, for grandma, the only real bread was made with her own hands, not store-bought. It's not good enough to grace the turkey sandwich or to be slathered with homemade apple butter. Grandma's recipes were unique, reflecting her own character and artisan skill, and always brought in a begging crowd as soon as the oven door was opened. Jesus knew what grandma knew. Great Harvest and every artisan baker knows it also. There's no substitute for the character, the nutrition, the taste and experience of fresh, filling and fulfilling real bread. In verse 51 from our passage from John's Gospel, Jesus says, I am the bread of the world, the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. Jesus is the bread, and we could say that the whole of chapter 6 in John's Gospel is really a lesson in artisan baking. At the beginning of it, we read about the amazing feeding of the 5,000 and with two loaves, or five, the feeding of 5,000 with five loaves and two and a couple of fish. Basic nutrition provided mass production. Having received this gift, the crowd follows Jesus, pursues Jesus, going around the river that he walked across partially and then was in a boat and landed on the other side. And they were looking for more from him. Like their Israelite ancestors who received a daily portion of manna in the wilderness, the crowd is clamoring to be fed with a similar scale, with bread from heaven, the kind of plain old daily bread that one might expect from a cosmic convenience store, if you will. But Jesus isn't interested. Jesus isn't interested in making bread for simple sustenance. He is the bread of life, the true bread from heaven, that which gives life to the world. He is bread conceived in the mind of the master artisan. In his own sacrifice on the cross with his own flesh and blood, Jesus, the bread of life, is uniquely and incarnationally crafted to satisfy the recommended nutritional allowance for eternal life and all who feed on him and his words. His own flesh and blood, freely offered for the salvation of the world, are true bread and true drink. Breaking bread with someone was a sign of true intimacy in the ancient world, a sign that those who participated in the meal were bonded for life. Remember the bumper sticker that proclaimed Jesus is the answer? Anyone? Got to be of a certain age. Yes, no, people are saying, yeah. Those bumper stickers were originally sponsored by the Baptist Church. They're a spinoff of the billboards, originally sponsored by the Baptist Church, according to a source that wasn't very clear about which Baptist church. But those bumper stickers were pretty popular, along with Jesus is my co-pilot and Jesus is the reason for the season. Of course, there were response bumper stickers that soon followed. Responses like, if Jesus is the answer, what's the question? And if Jesus is your co-pilot, move over and let him take control. You got to love those freeway conversations of bumper stickers. Well, you've seen them, right? My kid is the honor roll student at Smith Middle School, and then you know, my kid can beat up your honor roll student at Smith School. Yeah, just terrible things sometimes. But if you see a Jesus is the answer bumper sticker, it's a fair question to ask. What is the question? And not in a tongue-in-cheek way. Given the breadth and depth of Jesus' teaching, there could be many questions to which Jesus is the answer. Jesus' teachings on the church and his continued presence in the world after he ascended into heaven, to teaching on marriage relationships and in general and the coming gift of the Holy Spirit can generate many questions to which Jesus is the answer. Jesus offers himself to the world as bread, that means through which God and humanity become bonded for abundant and eternal life. Jesus said, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. He who feeds on me will live forever, will never hunger again. Feeding on Jesus is a means of taking in all that he offers, the satisfying fullness of salvation and the daily nutritions of indwelling the Holy Spirit and the strength to live life to the full with an eternal perspective. From questions on how to spiritually grow into being in relationship with each other, Jesus is the answer to, if you're looking for insights on the nature of God and how to connect to your living Creator, Jesus is the answer. If you're looking to make love the foundational rule of your life, for the relationships with your significant other, with your children, your neighbors, then Jesus is the answer. If you're looking for wholeness that is possible only through forgiveness, Jesus is the answer. And if you're looking for the formula to make our church the most effective it can be in ministry to our community, to the ends of the earth, Jesus is the answer. And to that end, I'd like to take just a quick detour to four critical activities of the early church in our passage from the book of Acts, which I believe we still should be doing as a church today, and we are doing. We read in this second chapter of Acts that the disciples devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. So first, we should be studying the Scriptures. We should be, as we do every week, make the Scriptures the foundation of our worship, looking deeply into them for guidance and holy counsel and advice. And second, we should always enjoy each other's fellowship as we spend time with one another. This past week, the Rummage Sale is a great time for fellowship. Amen? It's a good time, right? It's good to be with each other. It's good to be in each other's presence. I had a professor in seminary who was so proud that he did away with the rummage sales in his church, usually run by the women's groups in the church, and he would set them down and he would say, if you just all sat down and wrote a check for this amount, you could do away with that entire nonsense of a rummage sale. And I knew I was smart. I grew up in a small town when we had a rummage sale every year, and I knew that that was a time of great fellowship. That's not the point. You know, if they make just a little money or big money, it doesn't matter. You can't replace that fellowship. Third, in this fast-paced, fast-food culture, we should be sitting with one another. We should be breaking bread with one another. There's also the thought that we should gather around this communion table and have bread together. And fourth, we should be in prayer and worship, seeking and experiencing God's presence in our lives. Of course, the important part of all four of these activities is that we gather, that we are doing them together. We read in our passage today from the book of Acts, day by day as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home, they ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved, those who were being made to feel whole and accepted and loved. These activities, important as they are important because the followers of Jesus should be engaged in them together. In a few moments, we will be figuratively gathering around the communion table, and after literally breaking the bread, and we will partake of that bread, symbolizing the spiritual reality that Jesus is in us. We will once again read that Jesus blessed the bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and all that being reflected of the Jewish blessing over the meal that they would share back in Jesus' day. And then in a shocking reinterpretation of this tradition, Jesus offers himself and calls himself to the world as bread, offers himself to the world as bread, the means through which God and humanity become bonded for eternal and abundant life. We read in our scripture from John's Gospel, just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which you, your ancestors, ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. Feeding on Jesus is a means of taking in what he offers, all that he offers. We come to the communion table, each of us with a need. Some are looking for that eternal connection with our loving Creator. Some are looking for community with others. Some of us are looking for deeper meaning of our scriptures and what that means to be and what it means to be spiritually fed. Some might be coming because they need forgiveness. Some might be coming because they want something new in their life, something different. We all come with needs, and that communion table and our communion rituals offer Jesus as the answer to our common needs. And I know we've got some first-time visitors with us today, and I want to say to you that that table is open to everybody. You don't need to be a member of this church or any church, because it's a means of God's grace. And this man cannot deny God's grace to anyone, to no one. It is God's grace to give, and so we give it. We share it. We make sure that it's available to you. So we come to this table, each of us with a need, and Jesus as the bread of life was a concept, even in his day, was a concept too weird for many people. And the disciples' response to Jesus' offer that he is the bread is that this is a difficult teaching. Who can accept it? And John's scripture tells us that many of his disciples at that time turned back and no longer went around with him. Maybe it's because they couldn't get past the ick factor, that seemingly cannibalistic language that Jesus was using. Maybe it was because they simply couldn't accept the gift that Jesus was offering them, that they didn't believe they deserved his grace, his love, that they couldn't earn it. And
frankly, friends, that's the point. We don't have to earn it. It is freely given to us. There's no list of righteousness boxes to check. There's no requirements to clean your hands and use proper table manners. It's free. Or maybe another reason why people couldn't follow Jesus anymore is because of the exclusive nature of Jesus' offer. If he's the only real bread, it eliminates all the others. In the search to fill the gnawing emptiness inside, people turn to a wide variety of cheap and processed and mass-produced breads, if you get my meaning, that ultimately leave them starving to death. You know these things, money, sex, power, stuff. All that stuff doesn't feed you in the end. We might proclaim Jesus as the answer, but there are many other answers that do not satisfy our hunger. Jesus' call is to bypass those well-stocked shelves in the grocery stores of life, of the supermarket spirituality that is offered by the world. Instead, he calls us to go a little out of our way to the intimacy of the corner bakery for a free slice of the bread of life. Bread with a unique and life-giving character crafted by the artisan's loving hands especially for us. And when we receive the bread offered during Holy Communion, it's the spiritual equivalent of receiving free bread. No matter how you slice it, the real bread and the real drink connect us deeply and spiritually with God through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the bread. Friends, let's share that bread. As I remind you during the communion liturgy, we are Christ's presence in the world today. And what is the church but a sort of bakery outlet offering the real bread of life, the real presence of Christ for others? Friends, a hungry world is lining up and looking for something to fill the gnawing emptiness in the pit of its collective hearts. Jesus offers himself as the answer to the hunger in our world, and as a church, we invite everyone and freely give what God has given us. And if we're offering the living bread of life, people will always come back for more. And that's the word of God for the people of God at Central United Methodist Church in the name of our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen.